Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Zach Jones riding solo this week. Derek Kramer having a nice week off. Well-deserved. Thanks for jumping in. Thanks for joining me today. It's a much more positive tone than I was somewhat worried about at around halftime on Sunday that I thought we'd have this week. I was very, very nervous for the Bills. I kind of am 24/7 with this team at this point. Always very, very nervous for how they've been this year. They will win the games they kind of need to. Baltimore, Kansas City, Tampa Bay this past weekend. And boy, will they lose the games that you just think they should just walk all over an opponent. Atlanta now and Miami from 2 weeks ago. They are a curious case. But to be perfectly honest, they fit the entire AFC. So I've just hit a point now. We're going to ride this out. We're going to ride this baby out and see what happens. We'll see if the Bills can deal with a bad run defense. And we'll see if they can deal with the fact that, is Tyrell Shavers going to be the guy that wakes up the passing game? Maybe. But boy, was Sunday fun. If you're a neutral fan, you had a lot of fun watching Tampa Buffalo. 44-32. A lot of big plays. You had, you know, no-name guys having awesome performances. Sean Tucker for Tampa. Tyrell Shavers having, as I just mentioned, you know, big day for him, a touchdown. Josh Allen puts up six and throws two picks too. So if you're feeling nostalgic, you got everything there. What a game. But now they're on a short week. They've got two straight road games at Houston on Thursday and then at Pittsburgh Sunday, November 30th. These are two games they should win. These are absolutely two games the Bills should win. Houston is likely going to go with Davis Mills as their quarterback for the third straight game. C.J. Stroud was not cleared from concussion protocol as of yesterday. We'll see if anything changes today, but today is the deadline to be ready for Thursday. And then Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers has a break in his wrist. We'll see if he even plays in 2 weeks. We'll see if he plays this week. And even then, they should probably handle this team. Pittsburgh is not very threatening to me at all. But boy, we will see. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on, give your thoughts on the Bills. If the run defense is going to be ultimately the undoing for this team. Because Sunday gave me some positives. It absolutely did. Even on defense, Dory Williams had maybe his best game as a Bill, playing in sort of the Michael Hoyt role, We'll see if that continues, but he looked very good. Cole Bishop continues his ascension. You never heard Max Harrison's name, and you barely saw him, and yet he played half the snaps at corner. That's a great sign. And Deion Walker continues to look very, very good. It's the young guys really showing up for them. It's more of the veterans. It's the older statesmen that are having a really, really tough time as of late, namely Matt Milano, who, man, it's hard to watch Milano, mainly because of the history he's had with the Bills, being so good for them for so long, really one of the key players for them during those early runs. He ascends to an all-pro level. He's one of the best off-ball linebackers in the sport. And it was a smash success for the Bills when they got him. And then he gets hurt. And he gets hurt again. And now you're kind of seeing a guy that it seems like it's a step too slow. Comes maybe at the perfect time for the Bills in terms of the contract, which is a shame to bring up. They can get out of it after this year. But it is what it is. They move on, but they're going to need to address linebacker and probably wide receiver. But it was a fun game on Sunday. Heart was probably in your throat a lot of it, but it was a fun game. And now they move on to a Houston team that, as I mentioned, they should beat. They should absolutely beat this Houston team, even on the road. But boy, does it feel like the Bills struggle against the Texans in Houston. It really feels like they are constantly having an issue against them in Houston. And it doesn't really help that there's a lot of injuries for the Bills. I mean, at a certain point, yesterday's injury report, albeit, you know, due to a walkthrough, it felt like it would have been just easier to say who was practicing. A lot of limited, but man, it was like, oh my goodness, what are we doing here? But it's Davis Mills, and you should be able to beat them. My only issue, and I kind of want to put my flag in this now, is I don't expect the same offense that we saw on Sunday. I just don't. And to be fair, if they try that, it might end poorly for them. The only reason Houston is a viable team right now is because their defense is incredible. Their offense is not great. They're averaging 22 points per game, ranked 21st in the league. But points allowed per game, they're first, 16.3. Passing yards allowed per game, 171, they're third. Rushing yards per game, 87. They're third. They are one of the best defenses in the sport. Derek Stingley, one of the best corners. Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, are two of the best edge rushers in the NFL. They get after you. And it allows them, for right now, to have a less than stellar offense. Hell, look at Denver. Against Kansas City this weekend. I know many of us were watching that game, especially after the Bills do take down Tampa Bay. There's that feeling that the season sort of turns around, and here we go. But watching that game, I didn't leave going, man, Bo Nix is a problem. He made some good throws, no doubt. Most of them to Troy Franklin that were, you know, clutch throws. He's very good in the fourth quarter. It's the defense, though, that I was sitting there going, that's a problem. They get after people. They've got a corner with two sacks. Nick Benito, if it weren't for Myles Garrett, would be the storyline for defensive linemen this year. They are an incredible unit. But Bo Nix is better than C.J. Stroud or Davis Mills this year. And Stroud for quite a while now. But if it's Davis Mills, you got to get this game. You have to win this. Start stacking wins. I don't care that it's in Houston. I don't really care that it's on a short week. You got to start stacking these wins. Keep up with New England. That's the positive of this, at least. You win on Thursday, you go into Sunday, you're a game back in New England. They drop that game against Cincinnati, albeit without Jamar Chase as he gets suspended a game due to spitting on Jalen Ramsey, which, incredible, great job. You're right back in it. You are right back in it. And that might become more important because, as I brought up to start today, is the run defense going to ultimately be the undoing for this Bills team? It can be, depending on who they play in the playoffs. They're going to get there. They're like 92%, I think, on ESPN to make the playoffs. Bills are going to get there. But if their wild card matchup is Baltimore in Baltimore, which is it's what it's trending towards, If they surpass Pittsburgh and they get the 4 seed and Buffalo's the 5, there you go. There's your wild card matchup. And if that is the case, it's the last team I want to play. It's the last team I want to play. Because at least with Indy, which would obviously be later in the playoffs, they're fighting for the 1 seed, I have Daniel Jones at quarterback. And I have a belief there that it's Daniel Jones. Look what happened with Sam Darnold last year. I mean, we're seeing it earlier now with Jones. But with Darnold last year, he was exceptional for 90% of the year, one of the best quarterbacks, and the last 3 weeks falls apart. And in the playoffs against the Rams is a disaster. And maybe even cost him his job in Minnesota, which Vikings probably want to do back. They want to run that back because McCarthy's been a disaster. But that probably ends his career in Minnesota. If they play Baltimore in that wild card round on the road, I am not feeling great about that. So they've got to start stacking these wins. They've got to catch New England. It is a hard road. And maybe they don't even have to play them. Maybe Baltimore starts to drop games because they didn't look particularly impressive against a bad Cleveland team. Lamar throws 2 picks. And if Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel could do anything on offense, they probably lose that game. But the Bills' defense is not Cleveland's defense. It's not. They've got a few nice ascending players, but not many stars. And specifically in run defense, they are abysmal. Anytime Tampa dropped back to pass on Sunday, I thought it was a bad move. Anytime they did it. In my head, I'm going, I'd have just ran it. Almost every fourth down, I would have ran it, and I would have just gone for it. The Bills could not set the edge. They were having a horrific time against, ultimately, the third-string running back for Tampa. Could you imagine if Bucky Irving was in that game? We might be having a far different conversation. They do have some ascending players, though, on defense. But they are 31st in the league in rush defense. They're giving up on average 153 yards per game. And with Baltimore, that plays right into what they want to do. The Bills the rest of the year should attempt to play with a lead every single time. I'm not saying that they should, if they win the coin toss, accept the kickoff and get on offense first. I like the idea of double dipping. But they should be as aggressive as humanly possible. Because if you can put a team in any sort of uncomfortability, you should. Get them out of any sort of groove. You should. It's where they're able to beat a team like the Lions last year. This run defense has been a problem going on now 2, even 3 years. But that's how they're able to beat the Lions last year. They got them super uncomfortable early, and they got away from the run game. They got on them early. The first few drives, 2, 3 drives, might be the most important drives of the game for the Bills and how they want to play and how the rest of the game is going to go. And ultimately, it worked out well for them against Tampa, but the game didn't start well. The defense did come up with some crucial stops, not giving up a touchdown after a bad Allen pick and just giving up a field goal and allowing the team to kind of stay in a rhythm. What is nice for them, though, this Thursday, Houston's not a particularly good running team. They're 23rd in the league in yards per game running the ball. They're not a particularly good running team. And then you have Davis Mills back there. That's a positive. And I don't want to look too far ahead, but for me, that's kind of where we're at. We're in the second half of the season. We are starting to look more at the playoffs. And if I'm the Bills, I look at my run defense and go, that is not something we can hide. I talked about this a few weeks ago. What can you live with? What can you hide? They can't hide the run defense. You'd much rather be good at defending the pass. I don't disagree, and I agree with Sal on that. And we'll talk to Sal in about 45 minutes at 11. But the Bills' run defense is so bad that most teams will just key in on it because it kind of doesn't matter who the running back is. I think where teams fail is when they get away from it, the Chiefs. Chiefs really never tried to run the ball against the Bills, and it was a disaster. We'll see if Houston's able to. We'll see if Pittsburgh's able to. But I know a team like Baltimore and a team like Indy will try and will probably succeed. And so for me, it comes down to stack wins. Hope that a young Patriots team, maybe punching above its weight class, drops 1 or 2. Get them in Foxborough and go get the division like you did in 23, when you were arguably in a worse spot, 6-6. Now you're 7-3, looking down the pipe at 8-3, if you can finish out the Texans with a backup quarterback. But boy, I look at the playoff picture right now. It's great that Kansas City's not in there. And it's great that Baltimore right now is not in there. But I don't trust Pittsburgh. And if that's your 4-5 matchup, the NFL will love it. And I will absolutely hate it. 803-0550, the number to call. I'm Ryan Solo today. Derek Kramer off. Zach Jones hanging with you here for this week. It is a short week. Bills are playing the Houston Texans on Thursday. We'll have Sal, as I mentioned, at 11. Primetime performers coming up at 11:30. We had a Sabres game as well last night. And they won 5-1. Good for them. I want to see how the rest of this week goes before I really start giving them praise. But before I forget, Noah Austin, Isak Rosanne, when the guys get healthy, when everyone else starts getting healthy, those two better not leave. They better start apartment shopping. The team better help them out because they should be here for the long haul. Austin had two great goals last night again, and Dahlin looks fantastic after coming back from Sweden. Let's go to the phones, though. We're open up for the whole first hour, so if you want to jump in, give your thoughts on the Bills and where they sit. Love to hear from you. But we'll go to the phones now, and Alan is up first today. Alan, good morning. How we doing, man?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I just wanted to talk a little bit about the upcoming game. You know, you said it right. I was shocked yesterday. I looked at the spread, 3.5 points. And I know there was iffy to talk about whether Stroud was going to play or not. That's by 6 p.m. It was 6-point spread. Now, there was some news by Scheffler that Stroud doesn't look ready, but I can't imagine that's going to change it that much. He's an average quarterback. Davis Mills has taken that team the last two wins. Yeah, they blew Jacksonville. And, you know, you talk about the great defense that Houston has. Trevor Lawrence went up and down the field on that team. They just
backed
off in the fourth quarter. I don't get that. They had the game won. And then Texans go to the Titans, and the Titans should have won that game and blew it at the end, and then they tie it and then win it. But I just have a really good feeling. I don't think the Bills are going to take their foot off the gas with this game. They know what's at stake. They went out and proved it against Tampa. And I just wanted to make a couple comments, if I could, real quick about the Tampa game.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me. I don't know how it happened, but I'm on Twitter with a lot of Tampa fans. And for some reason, they can't stand Bowles as a coach. They keep going back to the two throws for the 2 points. When Baker threw those balls, he should have ran it. Fourth and two, I think it was at our 40, and they punted. And then in the game with fourth and two with 5 minutes to go, and they punted. They were just ripping them for that. But I think the difference, you know, they probably put their trust in their defense, but as a lot of fans said, they couldn't stop Allen, so there was a joke. But I like the way, you know, we're second in the league, I think, against the pass. And the old theory goes, they're running on us all the time. But they have looked really good against the pass. And I don't know if Miko Collins is going to play. He might. He probably will. He'll probably try to give it a go. But they also have a lot of big injuries, and they're not a good run team, the Texans. But I like our chances this week. But I'd just like to mention about that spread, how it jumped so quick. It can't just be Stroud. It has to be the Bills, the way they played. And maybe you could talk about that. Take care. Thanks a lot.
And thanks for the call, man. Yeah, where I've got it, it's 5.5 points. It's on the road at Houston, so that's a really good spread for the Bills. I think a lot of it is just, Stroud's not anticipated to play. It is still Davis Mills. They've done well in the meantime, well, he's been hurt. When Stroud's been hurt, they get the win over Jacksonville. They get the win over Tennessee. You are right to bring up, though, Tennessee probably should win this game. Tennessee is an abysmal football team, and yet Houston only wins that 16-13. Now, in terms of up and down the field, for me, with the Jacksonville one, it is just more that they gave up 26 points in the fourth quarter. Like, that's why Jacksonville loses that game. They're up 29-10 and lose it. Yeah, I don't think that's a very good football team. These last two wins for Houston are not the most impressive things in the world. I think with Buffalo, though, where people are going to get a little nervous is they got up for the big game. They had to win against Tampa. They could not lose. What would that have been? 4 of their last 7? 2 in a row again? You know, an embarrassing effort against Miami? Yeah, I mean, they got up for it. It is also maybe good to mention, I know Sneaky Joe's brought this up too, Bills are still, I think, the favorite in the AFC to represent the conference in the Super Bowl. It points to where the conference is at this point. I mean, Kansas City's 5-5. Andy Reid lost off the bye. I mean, that was a game I was curious in, but I always thought Denver was going to lose that because it's Andy Reid off the bye. And it's an important game, and yet they lost it. I mean, it points to where the conference is as a whole. Baltimore, I'm talking about being worried about them in the playoffs. They're not even in a playoff spot just yet. But I think a lot of that is more due to the fact it's Davis Mills. You know, they didn't look good against Tennessee last week. They arguably didn't even really look good against Jacksonville. And now they get a Buffalo team in here who is just good. The problem is, I think many of us wanted them to be great this year. They, you know, there was a point here not that long ago that we're all sitting here thinking they should have been undefeated going into this game once they got past Baltimore. You know, that's week one. We're all kind of sitting there going, hey, you got past the hard one. Now you get Kansas City at home. You play them so well in the regular season. Well, who else is there? It hasn't been the case this year. We'll see what the offense looks like. Keon Coleman was benched this week. I don't anticipate he'll be benched again, namely due to the injuries. We'll see if that changes today, but mainly due to the injuries, I think he'll play. I don't anticipate, though, he'll lead the team in snaps like he has been, because the offense did look very good without him out there. And Tyrell Shavers and Josh Allen look to already have a connection that I think they've been struggling to develop with he and Keon. Is that all Coleman and its fault? Probably not. There's probably a mix there with Allen as well, because we've all seen some of the plays where Keon is open and Allen doesn't look to him. And there were plays on Sunday where Allen has a wide-open Khalil Shakir but instead decides to take the moonshot. It is what it is. I will tell you right now, though, with the way the defense plays, namely against the run, yeah, give me that every day, every game of the week. Problem is, with the team they're playing this week on a short week, Houston, that may not be the way they can go. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones riding solo this week. Sal Capaccio coming up at 11. Get a preview of the Bills. A lengthy injury report from yesterday. I think we're also hearing from Sean McDermott again today. And then primetime performers. It was a great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Week of sports. We'll have that at 11:30, but your calls ahead. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
That's clearly the area that they have to get figured out. Their run defense, they were able to run the ball wherever they wanted to. That is Tampa Bay and that Buffalo run defense. But I think Buffalo's learning that it's going to be a shootout team. In their three losses this year, they've scored 20 points or less. In all seven of their wins, they've scored 28 or more. Josh Allen, when you've got him at quarterback, he's got to put up the points because right now that run defense isn't stopping enough to be able to win those lower scoring games. But why not just put up 44 every week?
J.J. Watt there. Stunningly, bravely saying defense is for losers, apparently.
Being a defensive player, I mean.
Yeah, I know. And he's like, no,
takes guts.
Stupid. I mean, giddy up. My thing is with the playoffs in the modern NFL, you lean into your quarterback. You lean into what they can do. Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Jalen Hurts, even Stafford. Like, you lean into those guys. It's wonderful to have a compliment. With the defense. I think we're past the days of defense wins championships. I think that's only partially true in the modern NFL because of all the rules and everything that has changed in now the modern NFL. You still need a good defense. You know, it can't be abysmal. And that's where I get so nervous with the run defense. I think that's fine and dandy. I think that's partially right by Watt. But as we mentioned, the Bills are 31st. In run defense. That is not sustainable at all. But, and we always talk about luck in the playoffs in the terms of injuries. It also comes down to who you play. If the Bills all of a sudden don't have to play Baltimore, they play Pittsburgh, who can't run the ball either. Okay, bang. That's one pretty good team. Chiefs are out of the playoffs. Great. Don't have to play Patrick Mahomes. And let's say a team like Denver is the team you play in the divisional round. A team that has a maybe lesser than quarterback, low ceiling with Bo Nix. I don't want to say he's lesser than, but low ceiling Bo Nix. And then you get like Daniel Jones in the AFC Championship. I think most people are sitting there going, great, I'll take that ride. I will take that. Pittsburgh, Denver, Indy, let's go. Even with the poorest run defense, you would take that. And then another aspect, and then let's say you win that, you get the Rams in the Super Bowl rather than the Eagles with Saquon Barkley or the Lions with their two-headed monster in Montgomery and Gibbs. That's partially luck. It's stuff you couldn't control, and yet you got the teams that maybe you match up the best against. But they got to keep stacking wins, and that's where Thursday comes into this. Thursday Night Football is always a bit of a crapshoot. It's always a bit of a nightmare. It's a short week. Teams are just trying to get by, stay healthy, what have you. And for me, look, I loved the defense, and Watt brings it up. Like, just go score 40 points a game, see what you can do. I don't know about that with the Houston Texans. We had a caller last segment, 803-0550. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on Tampa going into this week? Love to hear your thoughts. Yeah. Jacksonville's able to go up and down the field on them, and then they couldn't, and they gave up a lot. Tennessee is more the game that is sort of indicative of, I guess, what Houston is right now with Davis Mills. Their defense is going to stymie other teams, and they're just going to have to put up around 20. They put up 16, they get the win. For me, it is the idea of the long ball that I think is going to go away this week. It's just not. It's probably not the right idea against the Texans. It probably is the quick game. It is getting the ball out to your running backs, which was nice to see this week. Seeing both Johnson and Cook involved in the passing game was really nice to see. Getting the ball out quick to guys like Khalil Shakir. The slant game with Gabe Davis, we saw that very early on. And, of course, leaning into your potential all-pro running back in James Cook. I think those are the ways to go against this Houston Texans team. If they were to score 30 on them, I'm very happy with where the offense is following the disaster class in Miami. I'd be very, very happy with where they're at if they were able to put on 30 on Houston. That's where I'm at. Houston is not a particularly good running team. I think your pass rush should have a good time against Davis Mills. It should be fine. For me, it is much more, does your offense get them into this game? Does your offense keep them in this game? Because that's where the Bills have lost it. They lose that game against New England, not because New England is that much more superior than them. They lose it because they turn the ball over three times, including one basically at their own goal line. with the Keon Coleman fumble. That's why they lose that game. And honestly, it's why I thought they were going to lose Sunday. Is because when the Bills turn the ball over, boy, they do not do it in a half measure. They go all in. They will have like two or three turnovers. It won't just be a fluke play. It feels like it's contagious and everyone catches it. And so, you know, almost a big part of it for me is I just don't want to give a team with a backup quarterback that is trying to stay alive, do not give them life. And I do hope that because they were able to go to the deep ball this week, that does exactly what we've all been talking about for weeks. It's why many of us, and myself included, wanted Rashid Shaheed. Not necessarily because I thought Shaheed was this transcendent talent that was going to take them to the next stratosphere offensively. It was more due to the fact of Shaheed is fast as hell, a very good deep ball receiver, and he'll freak defenses out. He'll do exactly what Xavier Worthy does for Kansas City, which is not exactly much, but he's going to push the defense back. He's going to drag another defender with him because he is pressing the defense. He is making you nervous about the deep ball. It's what Hardman did, and you saw it on the Hardman pass. Khalil Shakir is wide open. There is no one around him. Allen takes the shot, and in some ways I think that's better in the long term. Sucks in the moment because ultimately doesn't lead to anything. But in the long term, it might be good because now Houston has to go into the film room when they're watching the tape and go, oh, hell, Allen's going deep again. We have to cover that. And that could leave Khalil Shakir 15 yards wide open. No one's around him. He's on his own island. That might be the best thing for them going in the long run to really get the passing game going as well. Once there's that threat, and there was some success to it. It's a broken play, but ultimately Tyrell Shavers, that's a hit. That works. Curtis Samuel is wide open. That worked. That is going to stress defenses out. And you hit neither the Hardman play or the Samuel play, but it's going to show up on tape, and it's going to be a problem for defenses moving forward. That's why I wanted someone like Shaheed. Jalen Waddle would have been that plus, because then I think you're just hitting those all the time, and he's also your number one, and that'd be great. But that was the big premise of getting someone like Rashid Shaheed, is that he would change how defenses had to defend you. It no longer became just load everyone up front, stop the short stuff, and key in on James Cook, and we'll be just fine. They have no one to stretch the field. Now, and we'll see about Hardman, he does pick up that calf injury, but Shavers was very good in that role. And maybe bring in Elijah Moore. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's a little bit more there where they can really start to spread out and to stretch out with their offense. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go back to the phones. Steve is up next with us. Steve, how are we doing this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm excited to go to my, whatever it's been, fourth or fifth game here in Houston since I moved. And they've never won any of these games in Houston. I think it's been over a decade that I've been down here, and Buffalo hasn't won. So, I mean, if you're going by the eventually they got to beat KC in the playoffs, they eventually got to beat Houston down here. It's just a really weird stadium, man. When you go in there, I don't want to say it feels like going to a Buffalo Blizzards game when that was around, but it is just one of those really goofy arena team feeling places, even with the fan experience. So I hope they come in there high energy. And, you know, this Houston team just isn't very good. And they whoop up on them.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. Steve, you're right, though. It kind of is a bit of a house of horrors, isn't it? I mean, just thinking about it, the Bills do have a struggle, namely in Houston. You go back to the playoff game in 2019. That's in Houston. Bit of a nightmare. We have everything going on there. You have last year, which was one of their worst performances they've had ever with Josh Allen. Yeah, it's been a not great stadium for them to go to at all. We'll see. Maybe that is part of why I'm nervous about it, is that I haven't seen them play well in Houston. I mean, Allen gets hurt his rookie year there. You have the Nathan Peterman game. I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about this too. It's not a good stadium. It's not fun. Steve, I hope for your sake, yeah, that it's better. Because It's weird. You know, that is maybe true of a lot of the AFC South teams. You never really think any of them are that good outside of like the Luck Manning Colts years. But for the most part, the AFC South is garbage, and yet the Bills have had routine struggles against all of those teams. Texans, they lose in the playoffs to them last year, 2018, Allen's rookie year. Then you get Jacksonville. That's always a bit of a tire fire. The playoff game, the Urban Meyer year, London, and then Tennessee. Those games down in Tennessee, especially during the pandemic as well. Yeah, the AFC South, I mean, it may be the Thursday night football division, but it can sometimes be a real bane for the Buffalo Bills. Let's go back to the phones. Thanks for the call, Steve. Tim is up next. Tim, how are we doing?
Hey, thanks, Zach, for having me on. You actually just threw a curveball at me. I didn't really think about it, but yeah, why do we suck against the AFC South, huh?
That's interesting. I know. I got no answers.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, so sorry you derailed me right there. So the most thing that was encouraging to me last week is the fact that the Bills for probably once this year, finally made a defense feel like they had to cover the entire length of the field, sideline to sideline. And I obviously the Texans are a much better defense. This is going to be a struggle for the Bills. But just if they can continue to do that down the stretch, it's just going to open up so many more things when you get guys like a Kincaid back. They're utilizing the running backs finally. I just really liked what I saw last week, Josh just playing free and making them cover the entire field, because – Todd Bowles is a really good defensive mind, and I liked what I saw last week. Anyways, flip it over to the offensive side of the ball. Again, just Josh playing free. This Texans defense is going to be tough. The game is going to be frustrating at times. As long as we don't give Davis Mills and company any short fields with some weird turnovers, bounces, whatever, I really like our odds this week. And I'd really like to see McDermott just crowd the line of scrimmage, make things complicated pre-snap for Davis Mills, and ultimately load the box and force him to beat us with his arm. I just want to kind of get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely, Tim. That's how I want them to play everybody now, is force them to throw the ball. Get on them early and force them to get uncomfortable. Mills is kind of the perfect template for that, because he's a backup. He's not even the main starter, so the Texans are likely going to want to simplify at least enough for him to run the offense like normal. If you can get after him early, though, if he has to have a Jacoby Brissett game from this weekend, that's not good. If he's throwing 60 passes and he's completing 47 of them, the Bills win. I mean, look, it's nice for Jacoby Brissett. He had over 400 yards. They got blown out by San Francisco. It looks nice until you see the scoreboard. That's what I'd love to see, because the Bills' passing defense does seem to be their positive. It doesn't just seem to be because everyone's running on you, that's why they're actually that high up. No, it seems like it is becoming a real strength of this team. The problem is, and I know some people hate this, complementary football, the running defense is not giving you any reprieve. If a team can run on you, it is ridiculous to pass on the Bills, because you can just run for three downs and easily get a first down. But when a team is forced to pass, Emeka Buka is handled by the Bills. Cole Bishop gets another interception. Max Harrison, you don't hear his name. And yet he plays about 50% of the snaps on defense against Tampa. They are starting to really find a strength on defense. The problem is that the other side of the defense is abysmal. Some of that is due to injuries, and they can't really control that. You know, the fact that Ed, he's played three games and maybe his best season. Michael Hoyt, who they're bringing in and thinking, that's the guy to change the game for us. And he does. And he does. And you get seven quarters. You get almost no time with him. He's the summer fling. I mean, that's what Michael Hoyt was. You're going to remember them forever. Even when you're married and you're happily in love, there's going to be one day in the summer you're going to remember him. That's Michael Hoyt for you. You got seven quarters, and they changed your life forever. The only positive is you're getting them back next year. And then Shaq Thompson, who when he came in, especially in the Atlanta game, the second half of that Atlanta game, you saw how much better it got. And then Carolina, and then Kansas City. But the injuries kept mounting. They kept losing a key player on defense for a lengthy period of time, or just the full season. It's not fair. It is what it is. But they've got to figure out the run defense. And a lot of it just seems to be guys just biting too much. Joey Bosa, specifically, is brutal at setting the edge. That man bites on everything. I love him as a pass rusher. And with the help in the secondary, you've been able to see him at times really feast. But boy, him in run defense is tough. Even Deion Walker, who I've really enjoyed this year, is a boomer bust player right now. He's a rookie. It makes sense. But he's boomer bust. And some of the busts, oh boy, do you see. Some of the booms, though, it's the same thing. They're going to have to learn to live with this. And I think the easiest way to live with it is effectively to hide it by pushing a team to get away from the run or to not be able to sit with it as long as they want to. Get on a team early. Get after them early. And part of that can be this weekend. It helps the Texans aren't a very good run team. But if you can get on them early and force Davis Mills to throw, he's not going toe-to-toe with Josh Allen. I don't care that the Houston Texans are at home. I don't care that that game is in Houston. Bills just got to be smart, not turn the ball over. And if you're telling me right now you'll take Davis Mills over Josh Allen, you're out of your gourd. Just flat out. The test then comes Philadelphia later in the year. New England again with Travion Henderson. And maybe the playoffs with teams like Baltimore or Indianapolis. That's where the real test comes. And we won't get that for a little while. But they've also got to handle their business against Houston, get to 8-3, and have a nice weekend off. 803-0550, the number to call. Sal Capaccio joining the show at 11. We've also got primetime players coming up at 11:30. Zach Jones hanging with you here on a beautiful Tuesday morning. This is WGR. Wrapping up hour number one here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones riding solo today. You are listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which is, of course, as always, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres played last night. 5-1 win over the Edmonton Oilers. A very, very good win for them. They looked in control for at least the portions I was able to see. I also was jumping back to the Monday Night Football game as well, Dallas and the Raiders, which was a horrible mistake by me. The Raiders are unwatchable football. Dallas is fun, though. But the Sabres, good for them. And now you get Calgary, the worst team in hockey, in your barn on Wednesday. Keep stacking them. Keep stacking them. The East refuses to separate itself. You're near the bottom of the Eastern Conference, but you're also only 4 points out of a wild card spot. Keep stacking wins. It's great news that Zucker might be playing this weekend. Josh Norris is ahead of schedule, or at least on a good schedule. I know he practiced yesterday in a non-contact jersey. I don't want to say he's ahead of schedule, but he's at least on his way back. Yuri Kulik, we'll see about what's going on with him with the blood clots. But I mentioned at the start of last segment, even those guys get back, cool. You have a problem, though. It's a great problem to have, but you got a problem. Isak Rosén and Noah Austin cannot get taken down to Rochester. They can't. They're both playing so, so well. Austin, in particular, last night was very impressive. He had a power play goal to get the scoring open right in front of the net. Nice, nifty move. 1-0. And then he had a goal later on, basically from the faceoff circle, just fires it in. It looked great. And those young guys have been awesome. And that's been a key part for the Sabres over the last few years is having those flashes of young talent emerging. We just haven't seen it all come together. But maybe it's going to help them if there's also that run of veterans coming in. Norris at center. I think you also got to keep Tage Thompson at center and maybe get two quality lines going after teams. And then get good goaltending. Colton Ellis last night was fantastic. And he's been very good the last few games, and they're getting good goaltending. It's not every night. You know, you get Lyon pulled a few days ago. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had a great game in the ultimately the shootout win, but he's been pretty poor all year. Now you get Colton Ellis. I ain't dropping him. I'm not letting anyone else pick him up on waivers. He's been awesome. Stay interesting. It's all I can really say right now, especially with everything that happened, you know, both off the ice and then kind of on it with the injuries, but off the ice stuff with Dahlin and Yuri Kulik and even Jason Zucker. Those aren't injuries. That's major health scares. Stay interesting. Stay competitive. Stay around everybody so that when you get healthy, you can maybe go on a run here. Keep even just the morale internally at a high level. And maybe Kevin Adams makes a move. I'm not going to hold my breath on it. They were kind of floundering and nothing really happened. But stay interesting. Stay competitive. Don't let us all give up on the season by Thanksgiving. And they can do a really nice job this week with Calgary on Wednesday, Chicago on Friday, and then Carolina here on Sunday. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more on the Bills and the Texans. We're on a short week, so no off day today for the Bills and our man Sal Capaccio. He will join me next. Stay tuned. That's coming up. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Tuesday, and you do hear that music. It is a short week this week. The Buffalo Bills.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Traveling down to Houston for Thursday night football after getting a very impressive win over the Tampa Bay Bucks on Sunday. Zach Jones hanging with you here, and we go now to the Western Hotline. You know what that music means. Sal Capaccio joins us on, I'm gonna say it, a beautiful Tuesday morning. Sal, how we doing?
It is. It is beautiful. It's good football weather. I got a little chilly out there, but nice day for fall football this time of year.
Yeah, you got that crisp weather. Now all of a sudden the morning coffee is like both needed energy-wise, but also heat-wise. It's perfect.
Yeah.
But Sam, I mean, let's jump right into this with the Houston Texans. Look, as much fun as I had this Sunday with the Bills, you know, really opening up the passing game, pushing the envelope down the field, the whole thing. I just wonder if that's not the right game plan against this Houston defense.
Well, I don't know what the game plan is on the Houston against Houston defense because they're really good, Zach, as you know, right? I mean, like their metrics are just really, really good across the board. They're the number one defense in the NFL when it comes to overall team yards allowed, right? I mean, like whatever metric you want to use, they're also the number one in points allowed. They're allowing less than 17 points a game. So either way, no matter how you look at it, this Houston Texans team, 16.3 points allowed, less than 260 yards a game allowed total, less than 87 yards allowed on the ground a game, 171 yards passing allowed. You know, so throw your stat out there. They're a very highly ranked defense. The only thing they're not in the top 10 in, I guess, is sacks per pass attempt. And oh, by the way, they're 11th right there, right? So, I mean, yeah, this is a I don't know what the answer is, what the game plan is. I think generally in this kind of situation, you try to figure out early on what they want to do against you. You try to have a response, and you keep it off balance as much as possible. And I think that's the key to a team like this. A really great defense like this, you just keep them off balance. You don't let them make you one-dimensional. But in order to do that, you got to at least gain some yards, whichever way you want to do it, run or pass.
Right, and it's starting to look like it's going to be Davis Mills. I think we're going to get kind of almost definitive word today if C.J. Stroud is still in concussion protocol. And you bring up one-dimensional for the Bills. I think that's what they've got to do really the rest of the way here with their defense. I like a lot of the young players on the defense now. Cole Bishop has ascended. I think that's just completely fair to say at this point. You've mentioned a lot. That interception against New Orleans has taken his career into completely different trajectory than it was. And now he's just maybe their best player on defense kind of week in, week out at this rate. Deion Walker, Max Harrison as well. But overall, the run defense continues to be really bad. Sean Tucker, who's arguably their third string running back for Tampa, just tore him up. And it's not like Houston's particularly great run team, but just looking at the big term, you know, the long term picture here, they're going to have to live with it. And at that point, it maybe is going to be something. We heard a clip from J.J. Watt on Sunday where maybe the Bills are just going to have to lean into, you're going to have to score 35-40 to win every game.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's going to be the case this week because this might be a lower scoring game, right? I don't know what it's going to take to necessarily, you know, get over the hump and win this game. But I'll say this, if they allow what they have on the ground against this team, a team that is not as good running the football as some of the teams they've seen in the past, it's going to be tough, Zach, because again, let's go back to what we just said on and what I just said about their defense and talking about them. Their defense is so good that if you allow the Texans offense to, you know, get to over 20 points, I don't know if you can win this game. Are the Bills capable of scoring like that? Sure. But I don't think you can count on it against a team like this, especially on a short week and trying to prepare like that. So they're going to have to be, they're going to have to not allow, you know, anything easy for Houston. And as you said, it's looking more and more like it will be Davis Mills. I just read a stat though. When C.J. Stroud has been out, D'Amico Ryans, their head coach in that time, is 3-1. That's a good job by a head coach to be able to win with a backup quarterback. 75% so far of the four games played, right? So that's really good. Davis Mills will throw the ball. He's not afraid to throw the ball. He threw it 41 times last week against the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, he offers a different bit of element than C.J. Stroud does. And, of course, Nico Collins really hurt the Bills last time. Speaking of Cole Bishop, by the way, remember last year, Cole Bishop's in the game. That's that long touchdown pass. That's the post pattern that goes to Nico Collins. That's the guy I think the Bills have to really be on the lookout for. But as far as running the football, you know, Houston has not been great in that department. The Bills cannot let a lesser, quote unquote, run team run on them this week.
Yeah, and you look at it, it's a guy like Woody Marks. Like it's not these named guys. Like I'm sitting there halftime of Sunday going, oh God, what if Bucky Irving was in this game? Woody Marks is kind of in the same vein of Sean Tucker. I think he's averaging like 3.5 yards per carry. If you let that guy get off on you, that's going to be a real indictment on where they're at. And I know Bobby Babich talked yesterday with the media, and I just reading what he had to say, it sounded like he was agitated at this point with the run defense, and it's hard not to be. Sal, I mean, they're 31st in the league. But if you get Davis Mills, I think, into a position where he's throwing the ball 40-plus times, if I'm the Bills, I'm happy with that. Like, that's what I want.
Yes.
I want them out of the run game. I want a backup quarterback throwing the ball a lot. And you bring up Cole Bishop and his history with Nico Collins. Hell yeah, let's go. Like, I like that storybook of that was his first moment in the NFL, and it was not a good one. This is a Bills defense that at that point really never gave up plays over the top, and the second their second-round rookie got in, they did. Bishop is just simply put not the same player at this point.
No, that's right. I think that interception against New Orleans really kind of gave him a lot of confidence going forward. And then you couple him with Jordan Poyer and what that's meant for him, right? And I just think Cole Bishop has been such a big part, you know, of this Bills team over the last, you know, several weeks, obviously. At the end of the last game, people pointed out to me that, you know, Cole Bishop didn't play on the final series and he was getting his hamstring worked out on the sidelines. So we waited yesterday for, you know, Sean McDermott to give the injury report, and he was not on it. So that's good news, despite the fact that there's like 20 people on it.
Yeah, one of the few not on it.
Yeah, he is not on the injury report, which is really good news for him because in the Bills, because they need Cole Bishop right now with the way that he's playing safety. And yeah, this is going to be a game where I think that they're going to want to probably throw the ball to Nico Collins. They're going to want to get, you know, Nick Chubb or Woody Marks going a little bit here, and it is Woody Marks lately. You look at their splits, it's really been over the last 5-6 games where Woody Marks has become the guy over Nick Chubb. Early in the season, it was Nick Chubb getting most of the carries. Now it's Woody Marks, 18 carries last game, but only 2.4 yards a carry. Mm-hmm. 14 carries the week before that. Nick Chubb, 3 carries, 5 carries. So it's interesting. Isn't it funny, though? Nick Chubb was just this incredible running back for the Browns, yards per carry.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a guy that was incredible. And you know, he goes to Houston, and it hasn't been the same. And I will say this, though. I think that part of the reason is the Houston offensive line just hasn't been that good, right? The Houston offensive line is they've had a lot of ins and outs and shuffling and injuries and things like that over the last year or so. And their offensive line has not done a great, great job blocking in the run game. And they've also given up close to 7% of a drop back sack attempt, which is 17th in the league.
Yeah, they're an abysmal offensive line. And this is also, you know, it was bad last year. And then they traded guys away, like Laramie Tunsil, I guess maybe try to like get better chemistry on the line, because I know it's a huge part of the O-line and how they work, but it has not been good for them at all. And that could be something big for the Bills. You know, Sal, I brought it up in the first hour, too. Like, Joey Bosa's been very good in the pass rushing aspect. He's been basically the exact opposite as a run defender. But this is kind of a game that I look at, I'm like, yeah, if Davis Mills is dropping back to pass 40 times a game, this is where somebody like Joey Bosa really makes, you know, the check worth it. You know, he can really kind of dictate a game. I'm curious to see what happens, but you brought up the injury report, Sal. I counted 16. I may be wrong because I counted very quickly, and it was while we were talking here, but 16 guys yesterday. Although I guess the good part is 4 did not practice due to injury. Khalil Shakir was also on there, but due to a personal reason. It was a walkthrough. It was the first day of practice, but boy, I mean, it was a joke, but also kind of serious. It's easier to say who did practice than who didn't.
Agreed. You know, the last week we saw this lengthy injury report, and I made the point that even though it was so lengthy, it was actually encouraging because there were very few guys who didn't practice. It's kind of the same this week, but the difference is you have a short week. So I'm not going to lean all the way into, okay, lots of guys limited, they're going to be okay. I mean, if you're limited on Monday in a walkthrough, and by the way, just so everybody's clear on the process of this, because I do think with this matters and people don't understand sometimes. So just to educate everybody, they weren't actually limited in the walkthrough. Because it's a walkthrough, it's an estimation of what they would have been if it were a full practice and is limited. So it's not like guys didn't do everything in walkthrough. Maybe that's the case, but the point is when you see limited and walkthrough, it doesn't mean at the walkthrough they didn't walk through like everybody else. It means if they had a regular practice, they would have been limited, comma, but today they did a walkthrough. That's what basically it means. Now that being said, I think it's what, 14, 3, 4, 5, 10. 10 guys limited, as you said, and then you have 4 DNPs, 5 DNPs, but one of them is a personal, that's Khalil Shakir, so hopefully everything's okay with Khalil on the personal level. But you know, you look at some of the names, I just can't see that they would put Dalton Kincaid on the field yet, right, after a hamstring injury. He was out last week. It's a 4-day turnaround. Mecole Hardman gets hurt in the game with a calf injury, 4-day turnaround. It's very tough to see guys who didn't play on Sunday or who came out of the game on Sunday be ready to play on Thursday. We'll see. That it means Curtis Samuel as well. Elbow and neck, not two, you know, two things you don't want to see for a wide receiver, obviously, with his arms, and obviously a neck injury can be very serious. We'll see where that goes with him. And then the other guys who are all limited, lots of them, so we'll see where that goes with especially the defenders. Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard, Joey Bosa, Taron Johnson, Daquan Jones, a lot of the guys that we've come to know be on this list. The good news is Shaq Thompson, a full participant with a hamstring injury, but he was full last week and didn't play on Sunday as well. So I do wonder, because of his age, because he's been dealing with the hamstring, if they just kind of backed off him in that game to make sure he's ready for this game.
Yep, and it's, I mean, we've talked about that too a lot this year, Sal, of like maybe kind of playing the long game here with the injury report. Like, they do have a lot of old guys who've had to play kind of key roles on the defense because of injuries. Shaq Thompson, maybe top of the list there, especially with some of the issues they've had in the linebacker room. You did bring up wide receivers, though, Sal, and that is something,
deeply frustrating, I think, for Bills fans to have had just that explosive passing game against Tampa Bay. You know, the deep balls brought back. It's sort of the days of yore with Josh Allen, right? Kind of just hero ball and in a bit of a wild horse kind of deal. But then you do have Mecole Hardman, who, you know, they have the deep pass to him, and it kind of showed what a lot of people wanted, myself included. When you were looking at a guy like Rashid Shaheed, he spread the defense out. He forced guys to pull away, and you saw, you know, Khalil Shakir's wide open on that play, and that's going to be something on tape. That's going to be awesome for them. But he picks up the calf injury. He's ruled out in the game. You have Curtis Samuel, elbow and neck. He also had a deep pass to him that he's wide open on. Josh just misses him. It looked like more of a miscommunication between those two. But that's two guys they tested down the field. And then, of course, and I do want to get your thoughts on this, the Keon Coleman situation. He is benched after being late to a meeting. It's his second time this year, third time in 2 years. And, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of fans out there that simply don't have the appetite, especially on a short week, for Coleman to go right back in the lineup. But he may have to, and it may have always been the case anyways, with the injuries.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to hear what Sean McDermott says today about Keon, although I don't think we'll get anything definitive on him playing and then being in the lineup or anything like that. But he'll obviously, you know, address it again if, you know, being asked about him. But more importantly, it's going to be interesting to see what happens as the week unfolds and if Keon Coleman is going to play this week. Now, simply by numbers, as you just pointed out, he might have to. And this, I look at it as, and I think this is how the Bills would look at it, and hopefully Keon Coleman looks at it. If he plays, it's an opportunity, right? It's an opportunity to show that you learned and you're ready and you're professional and you're going to go out there and do everything you can to help your team. I'm not saying he hasn't done that on the field, but this is an opportunity to kind of wash away as quickly as possible what happened last week, get on the field and help your team. And I think that, you know, when that opportunity presents itself as a young man in this league who's gone through now three disciplinary issues, you have to take advantage of that opportunity as quickly and as best as you possibly can. So we'll see if that happens. Now, let's just say Khalil Shakir is fine. You know, personal, he's back. Let's just say Curtis Samuel is fine. Mecole Hardman's an interesting one because I don't know if Mecole Hardman being active or inactive directly impacts Keon Coleman, because really Mecole Hardman is more here just for punt and kick returning. Yeah. However, as you mentioned, you throw him on the field for a deep shot, it can really open up the offense a little bit, and he was on the field a little bit. So I'm interested to see how the wide receiver numbers shake out. Let's remember, the Bills signed Mecole Hardman to the 53-man roster. He's on the roster. They elevated Gabe Davis from the practice squad. They can still elevate Gabe two more times. So it's no certainty that Gabe Davis gets elevated this week. That could be, again, you look at it and say, maybe Keon Coleman's ready to play. Are we healthy here? What do we need to do? So it's going to be really interesting to see how these numbers play out. But I think the bigger thing is with Keon Coleman, it might not be this week. I mean, Jack, is anybody going to say the offense was any worse without him last week? No.
I was going to ask you about that. They were better,
right? Tyrell Shavers was the guy that – it's just weird to say it this way, but I guess the best way I can say it just very directly is I think Tyrell Shavers just was the guy that was better than Keon Coleman in the role Keon Coleman was supposed to play.
Yep, and it's you know, I was being hyperbolic on Sunday when I said it, but like Shavers in his first real game action where it's like, okay, you're going to be a main factor here, he kind of did what Keon hasn't been able to do all year. What was
correct?
He was like the leading separator.
Yep.
In the NFL, I mean, it immediately. And I'm not here to say that Shavers is going to be this world beater. I know Jeremy was joking during Extendo that, you know, maybe he's T. Higgins, and it was a joke. But you know, what if Shavers though was just a good receiver? We haven't necessarily seen that out of Coleman through 2 years. There's been glimpses. There's no doubt about that. But he and Xavier Worthy have both been, I think, really massive disappointments for the Bills and Chiefs, respectively. And you're right. The offense hasn't looked – and they're down Dalton Kincaid. Up to that point, inarguably, their best man beater. They're down him. And they have maybe their best passing game performance of the season. And, yeah, I think rightfully or wrongfully, people will look at, well, who wasn't on the field? Who maybe was the problem there? And maybe it is Coleman. I don't know. He's in a tough spot, and you're right. If he has to play, this is an opportunity for him. But also, to that point, he hasn't done much when he's been on the field anyways. I mean, you have week one, and that has been kind of the shining light of the season of there's still hope. But after that, it has been a bit of a desert for Coleman in terms of the stats. He has not taken over a game really since then.
Agreed. It's so funny. You brought up the Worthy point too, and it's a totally different discussion, but I am thinking about that group, right? And that's you know, that's the draft class from a couple of years ago. And, of course, Ladd McConkey's doing a really nice job, obviously, in L.A. But you think about everything that went into the trade and all the analysis about that and the Bills. And, I mean, Xavier Worthy has had over 50 yards twice this year.
Yep.
And one of them is 83. 83 yards is his top. Otherwise, the last few games, 25, 23, right? Three catches last week. Targets, you know, 3 out of 5, 3 out of 7 a couple weeks ago at Buffalo, by the way, in that game. So it's just a point about, like, sometimes these young receivers, and this is not me making a point about the trade or what happened between the two. I just think that sometimes these young receivers, as much as we see some of them come in the league and hit right away, it doesn't work like that for everybody. And it all could be for different reasons. For Xavier Worthy, it feels like it's just they can't kind of match up what they want to do. Offensive line, little shuffling in and out. They're missing on some deep balls over there. They're trying to get the ball in different ways in manufacturing. With Keon Coleman, it's not doing the things off the field he needs to do. Professional, being right there and available. When Josh Allen has scramble, is he given the maximum effort on those kinds of plays? There's different ways. Think about a guy like Cole Bishop, totally different. Mm-hmm. Second year, where it was injuries, it was reps. He needed to get on the field. Yes, different position, but it is, I always say this, it is never linear for any of these players to come into the league and expect and know that their trajectory, their development is the exact same. And some will never get there. And some will, and it will take time. And then you take a look at a guy like Tyrell Shavers. I bet you last week, Zach, there's probably people watching the Bills game last week who said, wow, where did we get this Shavers guy from?
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because they don't know, because they're more of a casual fan, which is fine. But I guarantee you, there were people going, wow, where did we pick this guy up from? Tyrell Shavers has been with the Buffalo Bills for 3 years. 3 years, right? This is a guy who has been on the practice field, on the practice squad, working his tail off, learning the system, getting chemistry with the quarterback, Josh Allen, during training camp, or maybe even other times during the season when he's had an opportunity, like last year, he was active for a game. He is the same age as Gabe Davis.
Yes.
Gabe Davis is 4 months older than Tyrell Shavers.
It's crazy. And you know, bringing up Shavers, too, because, you know, the last few weeks we've talked about Sean McDermott's comments, mainly regarding Keon Coleman and the veiledness of them. And, you know, all right, is he upset with his effort, the whole thing? Yeah, not even the case with Tyrell Shavers. He can't wait to sing his praises. He did yesterday, of, like, talking about, same thing you said. Like, he was on practice squad. He's fighting for a roster spot. By the way, he had two big plays against Tampa this year. The one in the preseason as well, where he's got this amazing catch that maybe solidifies his spot on the roster. He gets the big touchdown this week as well. But yeah, I mean, maybe he is just kind of that diamond in the rough, good receiver, not going to say he's great, but a good weapon for the Bills to have. And if this continues to roll, good for him. That's awesome. He's absolutely earned it. Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, just a few more minutes here. One player I did want to ask about, because we really didn't hear his name, but he did play around 50% of the snaps on defense, Max Harrison. What did you see from him? I take that. It's kind of like the same with the offensive line. I didn't hear his name, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. I actually thought the corners overall played pretty well in the last game for the Bills. And, you know, you look at this Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay is a team that takes shots. They take a lot of shots down the field. They didn't take that many shots down the field. They didn't have a lot of big explosive plays. Now, the wind was a bit of a factor, and the fact that they could run the ball was a factor. If you could run the ball well and effectively, you don't need to take those shots down the field. But when they did take those shots, they really didn't. They didn't really connect, and they didn't even attempt them, to be honest with you. They did a great job. Egbuka was targeted 9 times. He had 5 catches for 40 yards. That's one of his lesser performances of the year. Only 8 yards a catch is his second worst of the season. Cade Otton, tight end, 2 catches for 28 yards. It didn't matter. The guy they were finding was Sterling Shepard. He was a guy that actually did a pretty good job. But the point is about the corners. I thought the corners played well for the Bills. I thought they did a good job to limit what Tampa was able to do. And it's a new test this week because they're going to be coming into this game. And, of course, as I said a little bit earlier, it's going to be Nico Collins, who they're going to be looking at to make big plays in the Houston Texans passing game. And, of course, Dalton Schultz is a very nice tight end. There's a guy that's very, very reliable, generally good for 40, 50, 60 yards a game. They're going to want to get him the ball if they can. They have a guy named Higgins and Noel, a couple of guys who can contribute in the passing game. And they're going to be a team that the Bills are going to have to do the same thing against, but especially Nico Collins. That's the guy you got to focus on. He is such a beast, and he hurt the Bills last year.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so Sal, for today, it is, of course, a short week. It's a Tuesday. Normally, you and the media are off. The Bills off as well. That's not the case today. They had a walkthrough yesterday, practice today. Are we hearing from Sean McDermott again before practice? I think you said that.
We are hearing from Sean McDermott at 12:55 p.m.
All right, so and then it kind of goes from there, a little bit of a normal week, of course, just with the game on Thursday. You'll be talking with Sean McDermott as well tomorrow, I believe, and so that'll be still live right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, so don't worry about that. Keep us tuned in. The 11 o'clock hour, we'll get you that. But Sal, before we let you go, the most important thing, we found Syracuse's quarterback for next year.
I just saw this. Yeah.
Sam Leavitt, Arizona State, very good quarterback, was injured this year. A little bit too much hero ball, going for Jordan Tyson a lot. NFL prospect, though, Sal, I think we found our guy. I think we found him. I was leaning towards Drew Mestemaker out of North Texas. I think we found our guy, though.
Yeah, I get it. Let's see it. Let's see how it plays out here. Definitely Syracuse needs a guy, but I'm sure there's going to be 10 more before when the transfer portal is going
Almost definitely. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here. Thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll hear from you tomorrow.
All right, thanks a lot.
Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline. Yeah, Sam Leavitt, great quarterback prospect. I was expecting him to be out of college this year. He was a little bit more on the outside part of that very talented quarterback class coming into this year that really never met expectations. He was sort of below the guys like Aller and Klubnik, Lenora Sellers, and Arch Manning, with the potential that he could skyrocket into the top stratosphere and be a first-round pick. Never happened for him. Very much was zeroing in on Jordan Tyson, who's probably going to be the first receiver taken in this year's draft. Also has been dealing with injuries. And now the report is from a number of college football reporters, including Pete Nakos of On3, that he is doubtful to return to Arizona State next year. Not saying that he's definitively going to leave, but doubtful. And that Leavitt's camp is actively shopping the, quote, as they're calling it, the quote-unquote talented passer at a high level. Syracuse, the Fran Brown, they're bringing in high-level receivers. They pass the ball a ton. Look what it did for Kyle McCord when he was playing there. And he went from a guy that was just, you know, let go by Ohio State. How does that happen? He worked really, really well in his one season there. I think Leavitt could do far worse than going to Syracuse, especially, too. The ACC seems wide open, brother. You could get there if you put up the numbers and with the recruiting classes they're bringing in, maybe even the portal class that they bring in. Syracuse could be a lot of fun next year. Although, James Franklin now at Virginia Tech could make the ACC much more interesting. 803-0550, the number to call. Butch, if you hang on the line, we'll get you when we come back, and we'll love to hear from the rest of you out there as well, talking Bills, Texans, Sabres as well. 5-1 win over Edmonton last night. Very impressive. Stay interesting. Stay interesting, Sabres, and we'll keep going here. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Zach Jones along with you for about another half hour or so here as we get you ready for Sabres Live at the top of the hour. This is WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. We will get to primetime performers here in just a few minutes, but first we will go back to the phones as Butch is on the line. Butch, how we doing, man?
My brothers, thank you so much. I love you, ZD. Y'all holding the fort down. Y'all doing an outstanding job as usual.
Thank you.
I love MSG. I love WGR. To the fans who listen and watch this beautiful show and on television, I love each and every one of you. I just want to get right to it. You know, I was listening to your segment just a second ago with my man Sal. And, you know, I concur with a lot of things, but me being a former military and a 27-year educator teaching high school and coaching sports, I know everybody has different footprints and fingerprints and teeth prints. I don't judge them all the same. I know Coleman came in the draft that was Worthy, McConkey, and the rest of these guys, and he's always going to be measured based off that, based off their production of what we could have had on our football team. But I also understand this. I've had students before and players that played for me that was played out of position or weren't at the level of reading or math, et cetera. I just really believe the same way happened to Cole Bishop. When Cole Bishop got here, we was looking at him as trash. We thought that maybe, you know, we drafted a player that couldn't be anything until he got recorrected. When he got recorrected, he went back to his normal, his regular position, which is strong safety. Now he's accelerated. The thing about with Keon Coleman is a hell of a player and a hell of a talent. He just was out of his wrong position. Keon Coleman always was an inside receiver. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of positions there because we had Shakur and we had Kincaid in the slot. So he had to go outside. But now, based off what we witnessed Sunday, moving forward on the redirection and the recorrection of it, is that I would like the Buffalo Bills to look at putting Keon Coleman in his regular position, which is a big-time slot guy. And I think added to the Shavers, added to the Davises, et cetera, we're just going to have to work it around where players are going to come in and players are going to come out. But at the same time, from this point forward, put this young man in a proper place where he can bleed and he can grow. And I really believe when he inside in that big 6'4", 240, 225 wide receiver, blocking on the inside, hitting the linebacker or chipping a defensive end, I really believe that's going to help. And then at the same time, Josh in the middle of the field is going to help us with another big-time target along with Shaq. As long as Joe Brady let Josh Allen play like he did Sunday and call it, you'll see a difference in Keon Coleman. And we'll have a different lingo with the exception of, Zia, thanks for taking my call, mm-hmm. of him handling his business and the business side of in the meetings and et cetera and off the field, et cetera. He has to tighten that up. But far as on the play field, this guy's a talent. Put him in the right section. Let him get recorrected, man, and we'd be all right. I love you, Z. Love you, D. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Thanks, Butch. Thanks for the call, man. And I'm glad you got there at the end because that was really my only hang-up. I'm all for that. I agree. I don't think the Bills have put him in the right position. I think they've always wanted him to do something different that he was not the best suited for. They opened that door up immediately after drafting him. They wanted to be an X. They wanted to be a boundary. They wanted to be an outside, however you want to word it. That's what they wanted him to be. But you're right to bring that up. It doesn't change the fact that he's not showing up at the meetings on time. It's 3 times in 2 years, 2 times this year. I hope this is a wake-up call for him. But I think for many fans, and I think especially for the Bills, the talent, the on-the-field stuff is taking a back seat because he's not handling his business. He's not showing up on time. He's not doing the simple, easy things. And you hear Josh Allen talk a lot in the postgame about trust, 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 trust. If it was a drinking game, you'd have a problem. That's how many times he says trust when he speaks with the media. And the way to lose trust real fast with professionals, and you mentioned you're a military man, the way to lose trust real fast is to not do the simple things. If you don't do the simple things, that becomes a huge problem fast for a lot of these guys. And I think Deion Dawkins, he's my favorite player on the Bills to listen to talk. And that was the most diplomatic, pissed off man I've heard in the postgame. They're tired. They're done with the kid stuff. And where I lose patience with Coleman is this is not his first rodeo. He did not come from a JUCO and come out of the scene in a very short amount of time and fame is sort of new to him. He was a Division I basketball prospect along with being a Division I football prospect. He went to Michigan State, then Florida State. He has been around big-time programs. He is not new to this lifestyle, and that's where it gets worrisome for me. We'll see if he plays on Thursday, and we'll see if this corrects him. And we'll also see now with Shavers, if the Bills do move him around, though, I'm not going to be patient, or I'm not going to hold my breath on that. I think they have the role they want for him. Thanks for the call, though, Butch. 803-0550, the number to call you want to jump on, give your thoughts. But right now, it is Tuesday. We had Sal at 11, but it's 11:30, and with that, we're going to go to our primetime performers, and that is sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. And with that, it's just me this week, so you know I don't want to take too much time on this. I don't want to like dive into the history of some of these guys and all that jazz, but there are some performances this week that I really want to dive into. We'll get to that, but first we'll start off with some of our honorable mentions, and right off the rip with the honorable mentions, Myles Garrett. Oh, dear Lord. An incredible talent. Generational talent at the edge rusher position. He is putting himself in the categories with the likes of Lawrence Taylor, Michael Strahan, and the likes of just one of the greatest of all time. Boy, he is on some garbage teams. 4 sacks in the loss against Baltimore. He's on pace to break the NFL all-time sack record in a season. He's 1 sack away from tying his career high, which he hit twice, 16. He's at 15 right now. But boy, he is on a bad team. And he had his out. I mean, he's at the Super Bowl last year, basically begging teams, get me out of here. I'm ready to leave. Signs a massive contract. He's in Cleveland for the rest of his career, likely. But I don't know, at least as a Browns fan, you get another absurdly talented player on bad teams, Joe Thomas, before Myles Garrett. It's a cycle for them. It's those line guys. So Myles Garrett on the honorable mentions. And then just two more, both wide receivers. Michael Wilson in the NFL with Arizona this week. Jacoby Brissett threw like 60 passes. Michael Wilson brought in 15 of them for 185. It was a blowout loss, though. But for a guy who's a third, fourth receiver, a great game for him. And then to college, USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon, 10 catches for 153 and a touchdown. I get worried a little bit as a Bills fan getting into him. He seems to put up a lot of, well, Keon Coleman highlights from college where he's not really separating from anybody. There's a ton of defenders around him. He just makes wildly athletic catches that just your jaw's on the floor when you see it happen. He's not as big as Coleman. I think he's like 5'11", 6 foot. But his catch radius is basically, if it's in the same orbit as him, he's going to catch that pass. An incredible talent at USC. I would be a little nervous, though, if the Bills looked at him in April. The separation, it looks like, is just not there for him. But he's a wildly talented athlete and catches everything around him. Those are the honorable mentions for me. Myles Garrett, Mekhi Lemon, and Michael Wilson. Now to the top five. We'll stay at college for number five. Ole Miss running back Kawan Lacy. 224 yards and three touchdowns. I want to talk a little bit about Ole Miss here in a little while, but them against Florida, this is a game that Ole Miss the last few years lost. I think specifically to Florida or Kentucky last year as well. Not great SEC teams, and they drop it. And all of a sudden, any of the hype that Lane Kiffin or Mississippi had just kind of goes right down the drain. Not this time. They pick up that win. They've got other issues going on at Ole Miss, and maybe it's not even an issue. Maybe it's just the drama. But Kawan Lacy, not a part of that. Again, 224 yards and three touchdowns. Put them on his back and won that game against Florida. Number five for me. Number four, Jaquan McMillan of the Denver Broncos, DB for them, part of that just absurdly talented defense for Denver. They are just carrying that team on their back. Bo Nix, not a bad quarterback, but a very limited ceiling, and I think limited offensively as a whole. They don't really have a lot of playmakers that you can really game plan for, or you should game plan for. That defense, though, is one of them. It's led by guys like Nick Benito and Zach Allen, but it was Jaquan McMillan this week that was really the star of the show. Two sacks on Patrick Mahomes. He also had a big interception. I think it was right outside the red zone, but Kansas City's driving. Denver offense wasn't doing too much at that point. A massive interception for them, and so he comes in at number four on this list. At number three, Bryce Young, quarterback for Carolina. I continue to have no idea how the Bills lost to Atlanta. That is a terrible football team. And you know the fun thing with Bryce Young at this point? Doubt him. Call him a bad football player. He's probably going to do something wild. Though the moment you believe in him again, he will go right back to being a bad quarterback. But this week, 448 yards through the air and three touchdowns, no interceptions, and he takes down Atlanta in overtime. He was incredible. McMillan and him is a great connection. The only problem is there's many games where Young is not very good. This week was not one of them, though. He winds up at number three on this list. Number two, we finally get away from American football. We go across the pond to soccer. Premier League, Serie A, Bundesliga, they're all off for the international break. Don't have to worry about this with the U.S., Canada, or Mexico because they're hosting the World Cup. But World Cup qualifiers have been going on, I think, the last week or so. And coming in at number two for me is Troy Parrott. If you have not seen it, I recommend looking it up because international soccer celebrations, the announcers, the whole thing, when it's a big match, you're going to get goosebumps. Doesn't matter if you're not Irish or what have you. You're going to get goosebumps. Troy Parrott of Ireland. They had two World Cup qualifiers. They needed to win them both to get into a playoff position in March. They win them both. They score five goals. This guy scores all five of them, including the 90th minute winner against Hungary. Just an incredible performance. Again, his country scores five goals. He scores all five of them. They get both wins, and now they're going to have a playoff in March to try to get in the World Cup. I'd love to see Ireland in a World Cup, specifically in America. Of course, there's a lot of Irish Americans out here in the States. That would be incredible. He's a young guy, too. This isn't like some 30-year-old who just this is his fleeting moment. Guy's 23-year-old striker, and he put his country on his back. And if it weren't for number one, I'd easily put him at the top of the list, and it's going to still, I think, wind up being one of my favorite performances of the year because of what it meant. I love international sports. We've got the Olympics coming up in just about a month or so. Can't wait for that, but Troy Parrott comes in at number two, Irish striker, getting Ireland closer and closer to a World Cup qualifier. And then number one, who could it not be? Of course, I'm going to be a little biased here. I'm a Bills fan, and Josh Allen continues to be one of the greatest talents we're ever going to see. I can't wait to talk to my grandkids about this player. They're going to think I'm BSing them half the time when I'm talking about him. Six touchdowns, and he's a wonder. He really is. I don't even think he played his best football on Sunday against Tampa Bay. The two interceptions, one of which, dude, what are you doing shot putting a pass? And then the other one's fourth down. He's got Ty Johnson wide open. But it doesn't matter. Three rushing touchdowns. three passing touchdowns. He's the first ever quarterback to do that twice or more in a career. The other guy that's done this, though, was Otto Graham. He did it once, I think. I mean, we're going all the way back to when this is football championships, not even the Super Bowl. And he's wearing number 60 for the Cleveland Browns. Josh Allen just continues to be a wonder in the sport, and he comes in at number one following a 6-touchdown performance, and maybe even vaulting him back into the MVP conversation. Although, if you're asking me, I think Matthew Stafford has got that award locked up, especially with how good the Rams have been this year. So that is my primetime performers for this week. Kwon Lacy at 5, Jaquan McMillan at 4, Bryce Young at 3, Troy Parrott at 2, and then number 1, Josh Allen. And of course, this segment is brought to you by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your final thoughts here before we get to Sabres Live at the top of the hour. I'd love to hear it from you. Zach Jones here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment as we do wrap up a beautiful Tuesday morning here on WGR. We've had a good time taking calls today, getting connected with our fans. When we do that, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, West New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we're going to wrap up today doing the same darn thing. Jerry is on the line next. Jerry, how are we doing today, man?
Good. I still don't understand sometimes what the fascination with the interceptions are. Do you know both of these interceptions he threw? One was, you rather have the safety and then kick the ball back to Tampa? I know it was lucky probably that we held them to a field goal there, but even if they get a touchdown there, we're getting the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
A safety is such a penalty. You give up points and then you give away the ball from a not normal kickoff position. So I don't think it's a horrible interception. And the second one, it's a fourth down play.
Right, yeah, the fourth down
play. Tampa loses 12 yards by catching the ball.
Yeah, it's essentially, it's a bad decision by the defense to pick it off.
Right. It should be based on, is it a bad interception? Did it cost you? And I don't think either of them really cost you.
Yeah, Jerry, I think that's a great point. I will argue on the first one, though, that could have cost you. You're right, the safety point. I just, the idea of shot putting a pass and it getting picked off within your own 20, that's always going to be a bad interception. You're giving them a really darn good chance at putting up 7, and that changes the dynamic of the game. That's a great defensive stand by the Bills and an ultimately not great defensive day by the team. The second one, I'm in full agreement with you. It's fourth down. You know, we talk about arm punts all the time. Fourth down, though, yeah, it's almost a bad decision by Tampa to pick it off because they lose 8 yards where they would have gotten the ball. I will say this, though. That's the most fun I've had watching this offense outside of the Kansas City games in a few years. Chris Brown said this yesterday on One Bills Live. I will take Josh Allen having 6 touchdowns and 2 picks every single day of the week, and I couldn't agree more. Interceptions are not the worst thing in the world. What's funny, go back through the history of football. There's a very brief period of time where the interceptions have dropped down precipitously, where usually guys were throwing double-digit interceptions or even having more than touchdowns for years. Now, of course, it's a different game. It's a wildly different game. But I'll take my quarterback having 40 touchdown passes and 15 picks over having 28 touchdown passes and 7 picks. It's all about scoring points. If Josh Allen has 6 touchdowns but only 2 interceptions... that's not a big enough difference for Tampa Bay. You saw it. Ultimately, the Bills are able to run away with the game. It's not a last-second win for them. They, quote-unquote, comfortably win it based off the scoreboard. The first one, though, I think is a bad one. The second one, it's more frustrating because it's fourth down. You want him to convert that, and Ty Johnson is wide open. He does not need to go to Dawson Knox, who really never appears open. I know he gets kind of fooled by a linebacker, but he never really appears open. But yeah, if you're asking me, the fascination, I have no issue with the interceptions. Keep throwing the ball downfield. Keep pressing defenses. It's where I bring up the deep ball. You're going to throw some quote-unquote arm punts. Look at Tua. That's like his whole thing when he goes deep. Allen's not going to have as many of those where it's just up in the air for 15 hours. It's like a flight to England. It's not that. But if you pressure the defense enough, if Josh Allen is put in a position and he is able to just push a defense back, You're a better offense for it. That's why I wanted Rashid Shaheed. That's why I hope Mecole Hardman's injury is not a long-term one. Same with Curtis Samuel, because when they were able to go down the field, it stretches the defense. You saw what Khalil Shakir's space of being open was when they go to Mecole Hardman. That's going to show up on tape, and they'll take that play 9 times out of 10. The 10th one, though, is going to be that deep shot. And it was close to connecting. But like the Worthy stuff, I think the most dangerous thing the Kansas City Chiefs can do outside of actually connecting on Xavier Worthy with some of those throws is ultimately just throwing the darn thing. Teams now have to respect you far more than they do if you just keep everything short. That's how you take what the defense is giving you, because you threatened them. That's going to do it for me today. I'll be back on tomorrow from 10 to 12, but coming up after a quick timeout. Sabres Live, this is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.